Today on Real Radio.
There are Christians who are married to one another, but they don't have a Christian marriage. And that's a scourge on a witness to single people. They look at that and they go, who wants it? Who wants that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at the letter of 1 Corinthians written by the Apostle Paul. In chapter 7, the Apostle addresses the various marriage situations among believers, married, unmarried, widowed. As well, Paul takes a look at the advantages and disadvantages of all these situations. Now, in this section we're looking at today, he gets more specific on how our Lord uses the believer who is unmarried. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Wise Relationships for the Last Days.
Remember in the book of Acts, he was giving orders and dispatching orders to arrest and kill Christians? This is Paul. He couldn't be a member of the Sanhedrin without being married. It is believed, we don't know, that Paul's wife either died or left him when he became a Christian. Think of that for a moment. This guy knows what he's talking about. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Be level-headed about this. Those who buy as though they did not possess. You own stuff, single person. Don't let it own you. You own it. Use it to the glory of God. Not for our own selfish pursuits. Why? Because you'll get derailed and you're going to miss life. He goes on to verse 31, and those who use this world as not misusing it. I love this statement. Be in the world, but not of the world. And use what's before you to the glory of God. Example, you can use the internet for evil, or you can use it for good. You can use money for evil, or you can use it for good. Time, you go down the list. There's nothing that you cannot bring up that can either be used for good or evil. It's your choice. It's powerful. Third thing under this point is this, being wise with what you have, it's passion. Passion, devote your affections to God. This is very wise. Passion, controlling passion, verses 32 to 35. But I want you to be, the word is, free of anxiety. Who doesn't want that? He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord. What a wonderful, but tremendous responsibility. Look at verse 33. But he who is married cares about the things of the world. This is not a sin. He just has to do this. He's got to go to Home Depot and fix the toilets. He's got to do that stuff. How he may please his wife. Drive me to Nordstrom's. There's a sale on curtains. He's got to do this. You have to do these things. There's things that you have to do. And you don't. That's why as a married person, he's like, God help me. I'm not. We're going to do what? We just want to sit here, and we want to sit, and we want to watch, you know, the flowers grow. Just sit with me. Lisa will say, just sit with me and watch I Love Lucy. Right? And then, of course, you know, my thoughts in this verse are like this. She wants me to watch Lucy. I could go out and preach a message on the street corner and win thousands of people to Christ. And of course, if she's not around and I'm supposed to be doing that, I'm thinking about watching the Laker game. Right? And so he says that there is a difference, verse 34, between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. The word holy here means, it's a hagios, it means to be separated unto God. That means, listen, she's living a godly life. She's not sleeping around. She's not some sort of a loose girl. She's a true believer. She's a true Christian. Jesus owns your body. Jesus owns your time. Jesus owns your spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she might please her husband. I see nothing wrong with that verse right there, do you? Let's just keep going. That's great. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may, here it is, serve the Lord without distraction. Here's the part that Lisa and I am so grateful for, you guys, and it is this, that Lisa wanted to make sure that I told you this. When God puts two Christians together in a husband and wife relationship, if you're dating right now, if you're engaged, if you think he or she might could be the one, who knows, we're going to see. Listen, number one thing you need to ask yourselves and ask one another is, if God brings us together, will our marriage increase the influence of the kingdom of God? Did you hear what I said? Oh man, I think girls are awesome, man, and I'm a Christian. I'm burning with lust. I need to get married. Listen, God gave you physical attraction. I understand that. That's fantastic. But that's not the reason why you get married. That's not the reason. The number one thing that trumps everything else is, will our Christian marriage increase the witness of Christ in the kingdom of God? So if some of you are engaged right now, nobody called me to tell me to say this at this service. If it's you, ask yourselves and ask one another, will our marriage increase the kingdom of God? Why do I bring that up? Listen carefully. Man, if I had a penny. For every couple that I see, head over heels, they start out this way, serving Jesus, loving Jesus. They wind up bumping into each other, serving Jesus, loving Jesus. Then they wind up loving each other, which is fantastic, and all this kind of stuff, and it's wonderful and cute. And then all of a sudden, you know what they do? Listen, listen. You can't buy this anywhere. I'm telling you right now. This is serious. They come down this aisle, and they say, I do. And then they walk out of this building, and they live a life as though it says, I'm done. I do, and we're done. They step out of ministry, they stop serving, they stop being involved in children's ministry, they stop ushering, they stop going on mission, whatever, they get married and they slowly float away from Jesus. Did you know how terrible that is? I seriously doubt either A, that marriage was of God, or B, are they mismanaging what God has given them? Your marriage or singleness should increase the kingdom. Your passion should be seen regarding this thing. Very, very important. The word to serve without distraction, the word in the Greek means to drag or to pull or to tug a great load. To pull without success. The Bible tells us in Luke's gospel, you can mark it down, but Luke 10, 38 to 41 talks about, remember Lazarus and Martha and Mary. The Bible says in Luke 10, 38, it says, now it happened that as they went, Jesus entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary or named Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Verse 40, but Martha was what? Distracted, pulled in many directions, a burden that cannot be successfully taken with much serving. She must have had an awesome house, right? Perfect. But she's like this about it. Stressed out. And she approached him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her. She's telling God what to do. Tell her to help me. And Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried, and the word is turbazo. I love the word turbazo. You are turbazo about many things. We get the word turbid. The water has been churned up so that it's murky, turbid. You can't see clearly. Your busyness has caused the water to be all murky. Martha, you can't see right. Your passions are towards other things. God says, no, devote your affections to God and live. Second point this morning. Wise relationships for the last days, verses 36 to 40, it's this. Verses 36 to 40 is this. Being wise with what you do. Be wise with what you do. And this is what we want to focus on in this closing portion, this closing segment of this teaching. Bigger. Mark that down. Bigger. Do what's bigger than you. Single Christian, mark this down. Always be involved in something that's bigger than you. What I mean by bigger is this. It's impossible for God to do it in your life unless God does it, because you can't do it. That's a great way to live. It says in verse 36, but if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, you need to put a little note, highlight it, because the schools of camp take a split at this point. One view is that it is a man who's engaged to a woman. The other view teaches that it is the father of the young girl that's in consideration. If she is past the flower of her youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. You see the way the construction is, but scholars argue. Is it about a father giving his virgin daughter away to a man? Listen, the word implies that the father has protected her from the world in Corinth. It was a sick world. He's protected her from a sick world. Good for him. She's lived under his roof. And in that culture, 2,000 years ago, which now, after having daughters and now a granddaughter, I think this is a great idea. And that is arranged marriages. By the way, dating is nowhere. Dating is pagan practice, by the way, just thought I'd let you know. Parents are freaking out because their 16-year-old has told them they're going to start dating. Excuse me, what? If they're going to start dating, have them make the house payment and pay the insurance bills. What do you mean start dating? Well, you know, you got to what? I got to sample the world and see 16 years old. You know what's funny about 16-year-olds? We were all 16-year-olds once, okay? I remember, just when my face began to clear up, my mind began to go. Right? Your face clears up and then your mind begins to go. I mean, you just can't win for losing. But what is this thing about dating? Well, you know, you have to keep being with other people at a young age and damage your heart and be broken so many times that by the time you get married, you'll say things like, well, I'll marry him or her and I'll just stick with it as long as it lasts because that's how I've been conditioned in dating. How about trusting God and saying, Lord, I believe you're real. Bring the man or the woman into my life when you want, how you want, and I'll yield to you, God. And listen to this. Lord, even speak to my parents. Amen. God's able to do this. See, my dad's not a Christian. God can speak to non-Christian parents. I remember my mom. I would bring a girl home, and my mom would say, I don't like her. Well, I liked her just fine. And then my dad would say, a month later or whatever, my dad would say, I don't know. They're non-Christians, my parents. And as non-Christians, I brought Lisa home. And this is freaky weird. I took her home and I came back home and my mom goes, I like her. She had never said that about any girl in my life. Never, not once. This one, she says, I like her. And then my dad was a monster of a man. He just goes, Jackson, yeah, don't let this one go. They saw something in her. And they weren't even Christians, and they could see. Why? Because they had lived a little bit. And this is powerful. Do what's bigger than you, verses 36 to 38 teaches us. Ask yourself this question. Is it bigger than me? Is my singleness giving glory to God? Or would being married give more glory to God? It says here in verse 37, nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart. And so scholars argue in verse 37, is this talking about the father? Or is it talking about the husband-to-be? And they're divided on this, but watch this. Having no necessity, but has power over his own will, he has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. Is this the father saying, I'm not giving my daughter away, or I'm not going to give my blessing away? He decides to keep her. That's, of course, in the context of she's now getting older. She's past the flowering age, the scripture says here. The Bible says that if God is moving, and she's not getting married. She doesn't want to get married. She wants to be single. That's fantastic. There's a sense, listen, where the fathers, any fathers in here, listen, there's a sense if you have a daughter, even if you're 65 and she's 45 now, there's a sense that you are loving her and available for her when she needs you. Don't insert yourself into her life, but you're there for her. But look what it says. Nevertheless, if he who stands steadfast in his heart, is it talking about the Christian man that may marry her? It's possible. You can look at that in detail. You can pray about that. But the issue is regardless of self-control and being confident. And then also this, those who are unmarried, single, you need to hear this. If you haven't read through the lines, I thought I was laying it down pretty bright at the beginning. You have a position and a place in the body of Christ that is admirable. And don't anyone tell you or fool with you. Single Christian, trust God, serve Him, be used by God, be busy about your Father's business. Now, having said that, because I'm wrapping this up, having said that, I want to issue a warning to the Christian marriages today. Before I say this, I know what I'm doing. I'm putting gasoline on a fire. I told you guys 3 weeks ago that when we'd come to this chapter and this teaching, there'd be people who would not want to hear this. And there have, in the last 3 weeks, people have said, I'm leaving the church. Because I don't agree with what's being taught. Really, what's being taught? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I disagree with it. You talk to him. And literally people have left and they've let me know it. I'm leaving. I disagree. Okay. I'm going to throw more gasoline on that fire. Okay, here you go. Because listen, I'd rather have 3 people in here spirit-filled than 3,000 goofing off. Okay? So here we go. If you're married and you're Christians, you're supposed to be united in every way, shape, and form. Yeah, right on, Pastor. Preach it. Yeah. Really? Then as a pastor who counsels people, why do you have separate checking accounts? Well, because I just always grew up handling my own money. So she's got her account, and you've got yours. And are you supposed to believe me that you're trusting each other? Watch this. You have separate accounts. I've heard of Christians in this church take separate vacations. Are you insane? Oh, we're Christians. Really? Okay. Adventures of any kind. Walk along the beach to get involved in ministry. No, she does her, I do my thing, she does her thing. Kids. Well, she was brought up with this philosophy, and I was brought up with my philosophy. How about Bible philosophy? No, you know, she does one way, and the poor kids are left to figure out. They have to be Einstein to figure out, okay, wait, dad is a spanker, and mom's a non-spanker, and dad has patience, and mom flies off the handle. Dad whispers, and mom yells. The kids, there's no unity. Now, watch this. Family. Well, she goes to her family's Christmas. Home life. There are Christians who are married to one another, but they don't have a Christian marriage. And that's a scourge on a witness to single people. They look at that and they go, who wants it? Who wants that? Isn't it funny? You got all this stuff we're separate in, but he or she's supposed to snap their fingers and their clothes are supposed to fly off. Separate accounts, separate vacations, but let's have sex. You know what? Forget that. That's insane. You're either united. If you're married, if you're Christians this morning and your life is divided up, you need to repent of that, figure out how to have a Christian marriage. We have classes and courses here that will really help you. But the singles are watching that and saying, that stinks. And then we end with this, verses 39 to 40, being wise with what we do. It's better to do what's better for you. Now listen to this. That sounds really worldly, doesn't it? But listen, better. Do what's better for you. Here's what's better for you. Verse 39, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes only in the Lord. If your husband dies, if your wife dies, you can marry again if God's calling you to get married, but you have to marry a believer. I read J. Vernon McGee said, he said, when a child of God marries a child of Satan as a non-believer, just know this, you're going to have a lot of trouble with your father-in-law. Did you get that? You see, Mike, the non-believer's father is Satan, right? And if you are unequally yoked, you're going to have to deal with that father-in-law. So marry in the Lord if the Lord's call. Listen, if the Lord's calling you to get married, but look at verse 40. But she is happier if she remains as she is. According to my judgment, and I think, this is an understatement of the universe, and I think I also have the Spirit of God. Simply this. Beware of emotional pressures. If you are widowed, or if you're single now because of divorce, and you have the rights or the grounds biblically to remarry. In the Lord, do what's best for you. Meaning this, let God tell you what to do. Church, don't run for the parking lot. Don't miss this. Seek the Lord. When he tells you what to do, do that thing because it's best for you. And here it is. Are you a widow? And you're saying, I've got to get married again. I can't be alone. Why? Listen, because I've always had someone in my life. That's not the reason why you should get married. That's what friends are for. That's what church is for. That's what fellowship is for. Is it that you're so sexually passionate? Well, okay, that would be a reason according to the Bible. It says, okay, I understand that. It'd be better if you can control yourself. If you can't, the Bible says if you burn, you can get married. Okay. But if you are making a decision, if you're divorced today and you're saying, man, I got to get married again. Whoa, wait. Seek God and find out what's best for you in the Lord, because if you're wanting to get married because of the fear of being alone, that's not the reason why you should get married. That's what a church family's for. That's what friends are for in Christ. Don't panic. Be still and know that He is God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 through 40. Now this is where the Apostle Paul gets a little more specific on how our Lord uses the believer who is unmarried. The title of this study, Wise Relationships for the Last Days. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently we've been telling you about our brand new television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Tell us about it, would you, Pastor Jack?
That's right, Davey. We are very excited about this opportunity that has really been dropped in our laps. And so we're just going to lay it out before the Lord and see what He'd have to do with it. And that is Real Life, the program. We've got Real Radio, and now we have Real Life. And if the Lord is in it, then He'll bless it. If not, then listen, we've stepped out in obedience. But it's a program on internet television, which is remarkable in and of itself, the listening audience, the vast area that that's able to cover, but we're really serving up issues and topics that deal with our biblical worldview. And so we have interviews, we have clips from programs, we've got things that are going on that I think will help you maybe be more equipped on how to share Jesus in your everyday life. So really our passion is this, that it's our hope that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. And by doing that, sharing Christ and knowing more, you might become a greater influence in your community, in your home, and around the world.
Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs Monday nights, 7 p.m. West Coast time on hischannel.com. Just click Live TV Stream for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.